I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A couple came to Bethlehem expecting child, they searched the inn to find a place for you were coming soon. And there was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angels said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel and Savior, hallelujah.
hallelujah. Good morning, everybody, again. I was listening to a guy who was talking about paying attention to the wise men who came to visit or to pay attention to a little child. So obviously they knew the significance of who this child was to pay so much attention and humble himself so much to go visit something that is basically like Carsey is there, baby, helpless, and yet they saw something was there. That is how we have to start. Bow ourselves before the baby, before the king. Anyway, I have some interesting notes here before I get into my message. One of them is, it's interesting to know when patients have heart transplants, there's something that happens to them. A lot of them have reported this. This is scientific. They take on the characteristics of the donor. Not all the time, but it happens. Four different personality characteristics are, they lose what they had and they all of a sudden have. Like this one guy used to hate beer. Can you imagine? Anyway, he all of a sudden loved beer. All because the person who had the heart, you loved beer. So let's put this into a spiritual perspective. When we have Jesus in our hearts, do we take on? There should be a character change. There should be a change. Maybe not right away. Some things maybe immediately. But over time, those characteristics of Jesus should actually become part of us. And one more note that I want to add before I get into my message is this. The bad side to grace, if there is such a thing. I say that tongue-in-cheek. There's the bad side to grace is this. Grace does such a good job of cleaning somebody up that the people who are still living in that dump cannot see that that person was ever like them. That's how good grace cleans somebody up. Have you ever met somebody and he's giving his testimony, he's basically beaming, shining his countenance, and he's telling you of where he was, how he used to be? That's grace. The change is unbelievable. You will not believe that he was a drug addict. He was in the slums. He lived where he lived. I mean, you look at these people that where they live. I watch sometimes where these guys addicted to meth, they're like zombies. They're walking around, and yet Jesus can take them and change them. And you think your religion is going to cut it? No, you need Jesus Christ to change you. That's where the miracle of the cross comes in. But before I get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Lord Jesus, we ask you that you will impart the power of the Holy Ghost into this, that you'll open up our minds and our hearts to understand everything that you have for us so that we can grow in you. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. The awesome results that the God promised some stuff that Adam and Eve fell, God promised something. Eve thought Cain is going to be the deliverer, but right away God promised something that Satan will be stepped on, will be pushed down, and we're going to get our original state back. The day was coming, but it took quite a while before. It had to take 4,000 years of a mirror, of the mirror of the law, to show to mankind how awful we are. And then Jesus, through grace and the promise of his coming, changed all that for us. And it also, Abraham, he promised Abraham that he will make his children as the sands of the sea. Now that, to us, it could be a hyperbole of, you know, it's an exaggeration, in other words, that God would use that kind of language to say as the sands of the sea, or he says to him, look up in the skies, count the stars. And he says, well, I can't count them. Well, I'll get into a scripture that will show you what he meant by that. I always wondered, why would God use such an exaggeration of things as the sands of the sea? Think about that. There's a lot of sand there. And then the stars in the sky, the more you look up into the sky, the more stars. You just cannot possibly count them. But my scripture out of Revelation 7:9, I'm going to go in reverse today. I'm starting from the end, at the end, and go back to the beginning. Revelation 7:9, verse 9, 13, and 14, King James Version. He says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man can number." Guess where he got that from? Remember when Abraham looked up and he saw the skies? I'm going to make your seed as this. Here he's going all the way to the end. There it is. And guess who that is? That's not the Jews. That's all kindreds, tongues, and nations stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. That's us, part of us. Well, this particular group came out of the tribulation, though. But I'm just giving you an example who that number was that were as the sands of the sea. It's a number here. And one of the elders answered it, saying unto me, "What are these, and which are they arrayed in? Which are arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from?" And I said unto him, "Sir, you know it." And he said unto me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." That's who we are. Ultimately, we are. That's how we'll get in. And if you think for a second that this great multitude that came from earth, lived sinless lives on this earth, that's why they got there. That's not why they got there. They lived their lives trusting that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse them from all sin. And that's why they were there on that sea of glass. So all of us here will stand on that sea of glass one day, someday soon, and we will be there because of one thing and one thing only, and that is that we're washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. That is why we will be there. If you think you can attain anything to that, that means you do not trust the finished work of the cross, and you're trying to add on by paying rent for your salvation. It doesn't work that way. It's a gift that we receive. So let's go back now to some of the promises. First, I'll start in Luke 1, 46 to 55, King James Version, where Mary is... said this. And Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." She's talking about herself here. "For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done in me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is in them that fear him from generation to generation, including us. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." The seed of Abraham is all them that live by faith, not they that are his offspring through the seed, but that are his seed through faith, because Abraham was the promise made. And that's why we are part of that. I was watching an interesting interview. Somebody was using a clip for Mike Tyson telling Bill Maher, if you guys know who Mike Tyson is, he's a famous boxer. He converted to the Muslim faith, and then later on now he's lifting up Jesus. And Bill Maher, he's a comedian, asked Bill Maher, do you believe in Jesus? And he said, no. And Mike Tyson asked him, well, I'm curious, why not? And he goes, well, I'm not 10. That is... as if you have, see, the Bible talks about it. We have to become like a child. And Bill Maher does not want to humble himself and have the mind of a child to believe this. So we have to become like children to believe the gospel. We have to humble ourselves. That's the power of the gospel of Christ, humbling ourselves in believing this. So if Bill Maher does not humble himself like a child and receives it, he's going to miss it. And again, approximately 700 years before this, the prophet Isaiah prophesied this. And prophecies this far back, the odds are in the trillions. The numbers are stacked so high that this can become true. It is unbelievable. I saw the scientific equation of this prophecy coming true. It is. The chances are zero. They're so high, it's unbelievable. It's astronomical. He prophesied this 700 years ago. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. You want a counselor? Don't look to man. Go to Jesus. He is a wonderful counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, is the Prince of Peace. If you're looking for peace in this world, you will not find it until you find the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. And then I'm going to finish out. We're going to have a song after this that will close out my message. But before this, I have some wisdom here by Oswald Chambers. And out of Matthew 1, 23 starts this. It says, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call him his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. The magnitude of that is we fail to understand how what this played out, the role this played in history. It is still part of us. His birth in history, the Holy One who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Jesus Christ was born into this world, not from it. He did not emerge out of history. He came into history from the outside. Jesus Christ is not the best human being the human race can boast of. He is a being from whom the human race can take no credit at all for. He is not man becoming God, but God incarnate. God coming into human flesh from outside it. His life is the highest and the holiest, entering through the most humble of doors. That's how we entered in. Our Lord's birth was an advent. In other words, it was notably the appearance of God in the human form. His birth now in me. My little children, in Galatians 4:19, from whom I labor in birth again until Christ be is formed in you. Just as our Lord came into human history from the outside, from outside it, he must also come into me from the outside. Have I allowed my personal human life to become a Bethlehem for the Son of God? I cannot enter the realm of the kingdom of God unless I am born again from above by a birth totally unlike physical birth. You must be born again, John 3:7. This is not a command, but a fact based on the authority of God. The evidence of the new birth is that I yield myself so completely to God, to God, that Christ is formed in me. And once Christ is formed in me, his nature immediately begins to work through me. That's just like the heart transplant patients. Once they have that heart transplant, something changes in them. God evident in the flesh, that is what is so profoundly possible for you and for me through the redemption of man by Jesus Christ. We're going to do a special number that fits with this, and hopefully you will enjoy the song.
Joseph and his Mary looking down at heaven's birth, and the angels saying, that stable tells a story of the distance you will go. For the lonely and the lost, there's no sinner too far gone to find a Savior lying in the manger.
Star up in the sky that's tall and all the least of ace. Come make your way to where your hope is found. If I'm on a Sundays, I've been too far out of reach. The manger reminds me of love now.
From the highest of the high to the lowest of the low. That stable tells the story of the distance you will go. For the lonely and the lost, there's no sinner too far gone to find a Savior lying in the manger. Oh, you were carried by a manger, and just 33 years later, by a rugged cross made from nails and wood. And the tears fill up my eyes. You didn't have to give your life, but then the story wouldn't be as good. From the highest of the high to the lowest of the low, that stable tells the story of the distance you will go. For the lonely and the lost, there's no sinner too far gone to find a Savior lying in the manger.
Join us in this one.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed,
the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head.
The stars in the sky look down where he lived. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Thanks all for coming. Different program today, but it was lovely. Thank you. I want to bring a bit of a message that goes to this time and to Christmas, because those people had the same problems we have. They're waiting for something. They're waiting for a Messiah. And the Messiah didn't want to come. They waited year after year, 1400 years, I think. How long are we still going to wait? In Luke chapter 2, in verse 8 and 12, it says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them. And the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid." When it came, when things started to happen, people became afraid. Is that what's happening now? Things are starting to happen. Jesus is about to come back. People are becoming very afraid. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. In Luke 2:13, and suddenly there were angels, a multitude, heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I want to ask a question. Has man given each other goodwill? I was listening to a preacher today. He said it's almost the opposite of God, what God wants his children to do. Instead of helping each other, instead of taking care of one another, they step on each other to get higher. Well, God is going to weasel out those people, and there's going to be a time of retribution. So the question I have, do you have this peace in your heart that this scripture is talking about? The peace that passes all understanding. Regardless where you are, what you go through, you can be down as low as you can. There's still peace in your heart that God is there. The poor people who don't know him, I don't know what to do. So I'm asking you, time is short, or it could be a while. Something could happen to you. Look for that peace. So when the devil hits you, you will have a peace that passes all understanding. And there's nothing he can do about it to take it away, because you know that you know that you belong to your God, regardless what happens. So thank you, and the Lord bless you. Amen.
Come, they told me, pa-rum-pa-pum. Ox and lamb kept time, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum.
pum pum, rubber pum pum, rubber pum pum. Then he smiled at me, rubber pum pum. Me and my drum, me and my drum.